Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska on Big Cabbage Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Cody Buse, for Ag Matters Radio. I am super excited. We've got some members of the Farm Family of the Year for 2022 on the line with us down there in Soldotna, or do you guys consider yourself Sterling? That's how we should start out.
Oh, we're Soldotna.
Okay, good.
Or I guess technically Ridgeway.
Okay. Even more specific down there.
Right.
Awesome. Well, let's introduce you guys. Let's just have you guys do that.
Well, all right, Cody, and good morning. My name's Amy Seid, one of the leads on Lancashire Farm. I manage the livestock and the protein side of the farm, livestock. And then I'll let Jane introduce herself.
I'm Jane Conway, and I kind of entered the scene about 12 years ago, maybe, when I met Amy and started to learn about sheep. And so all of a sudden, between her and Martha, who isn't here today, who is, the namesake of Lancashire Farm, she got me hooked on wool and spinning and making wool products. And I kind of just took the reins on that. And so now I have a wool room filled with bags of fiber and love to do spinning and fiber arts with all of our product from about half of our sheep are fiber sheep.
Gotcha. So yeah, the name of the farm, Lancashire Farm. You guys are down there in Soldotna, Ridgeway to be exact. And congrats on being Farm Family of the Year. It's multi-generational, multi-personal, and a diversified farm is what I'm assuming.
Yeah. And actually, I'm third generation. So the farm started in 1948 when my grandparents decided to uproot their lives down in the States, came from a wealthy family, and then decided to move up to remote Alaska and start farming. And yeah, we have a pretty diverse farm. We have livestock, sheep for meat and fiber, and chickens for eggs and meat, and a garden, and a hay field, and we do fiber stuff. So pretty diverse farm, keeps us busy and entertained.
Yes, busy is probably the operative word there, but also entertained. Every day is a little bit different.
Especially right now, although the weather isn't much different every day right now because it just seems to be wet.
Yeah, I think for most of us in South Central, that's been the case this since midsummer. It's presented a lot of challenges for sure.
Yeah, mud. I mean, that's my word for it. It's just every day is flopping around in the mud. So I don't know. We went from drought in the beginning of the summer when we were contemplating how to irrigate and water our pastures so the sheep would have enough grass seed, and then we went from that to almost instantaneously day after day after day of rain.
Yeah, so we're here in Palmer, so it sounds like we had a very similar weather pattern for sure, because you're right. By the time I got all the irrigation set up for the new trees we put in, I didn't need it anymore.
So it was your irrigation that made the rain come.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as I got it installed and finished, I was like, oh, I can breathe now. I don't have to hand water every day these 40-plus trees that we put in. And yeah, it gave us a run for our money. And that's what happens. You finish one project and then the weather says, well, thanks, I got other plans.
Yeah. And we were lucky to get our hay field cut and baled, where others around us who are really still being challenged with that.
Yeah. If you're not doing haylage or baleage, which for those of you listening, that's basically wrapping it up tight in plastic and letting it ferment. I think that's oversimplification, but getting dry actual hay has been tough this year.
Yeah.
And the quantity's down also.
Right. That warm start didn't help us. It was so dry and the quantity and maybe even quality was down a little bit.
But yeah, that's one of the exciting parts of farming. You never know what you're going to get from year to year.
Yeah. So, I mean, we understand the homestead part of it, but maybe Jane talks about it a little bit, but how did you guys get started there on the farm?
Well, being raised on the farm, I've always known that I wanted to come back to the farm or be farming on the homestead. So I was growing up, I was always helping out when my aunt was here and started Ridgeway Farms, which is, she's now up on Strawberry Road, but I'd come and spend the summers with her and help out with all the farming back then growing up. And Grandma and Grandpa were here, so I just remember always wanting to be on the farm.
Yeah, sounds like you did a real apprenticeship first. Well, folks, if you're just joining us, this is your host, Cody Buse, for Ag Matters Radio, and we've got Amy Seitz and Jane Conway of Lancashire Farms, the Farm Family of the Year, talking about their operation. But also, I think we'll have time today to talk about some of the things you guys do to advocate for agriculture. Maybe that's a good time to talk about it. Amy, I know that being the executive director of the Farm Bureau keeps you, Alaska Farm Bureau keeps you very busy. And what can you tell us about the Farm Bureau and what you do with that?
Well, I had a big part of the Alaska Farm Bureau, or all farm bureaus, is advocating for agriculture, whether it's getting out to consumers and talking about supporting our farmers and supporting farms, or going to Juneau and talking with legislators about ag-friendly policy. That definitely keeps me busy, and I think it's a good and important thing to do, whether it's through Farm Bureau or just people in general, advocating for supporting our local farmers and buying local as much as possible.
Yeah, I think there's some pretty exciting things. I know that I joined the last crew to go last year for the Food Security Week, and to me, I had not been a part of that process previously. And so meeting with legislators, and sometimes we have a bad taste about maybe we call it lobbying, but the legislator that we met with were very open, and they're just willing to learn. It might be of lack of education, and so that's why I think it's important to engage in that process, whether that's from a distance or in person, but you seem to do that very, very well for us.
Well, thank you. It is always nice to get our policymakers more aware of you, because they don't necessarily know what it's like to be on a farm or what's needed. But yeah, definitely getting more people talking about the importance of increasing our food production and even our non-food. We have flowers and wool. We have non-food ag products also.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I ended up coming home with a yak from the Alaska State Fair. So don't know much about their fiber. I understand it's a little bit like muskox in the sense that it tends to shed off in the spring. Could be totally wrong about that. I've got to learn a lot about yaks between now and then. But maybe you guys can help me out with that fiber.
I actually have never been given any yak fiber. I've been, I have people that come up to me at the farmer's market and they, they have a little, they're sheepish and they say, well, I have this little bag of, my dog fur, or I got this up on the North Slope, or my sister gave me this Kiviute, or I got this bison fiber. But yak would be a new one for me. And I'm assuming I just don't know, but I don't think it's quite a soft and fluffy like Kiviute, but I could be wrong. What color? I'm curious, what color is the yak?
Yeah, so Ferdinand, he's just got a little white patch on his face, but he's black coated.
Oh, black fiber is, pure black fiber is always what people are looking for. And we had just FYI, we had a steer named Ferdinand. I don't know, Amy, how many years ago was that?
Oh, about 2011.
Yeah, and he was beautiful with white, luxurious hair and a cute black nose and long black eyelashes.
I think all cows named Ferdinand have to be the best because of course, he's a yak, but he's very lovable. We're hoping to get him some female companions eventually.
And then you'll get into the fiber art world.
That's right.
Right. So we'll have to talk. Maybe we can check out that fiber and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot to learn about fiber. Jane, I wanted to highlight also what it is that you do in the capacity. I always like to highlight Senator Murkowski's initiatives that she put in the Farm Bill and other things that have, to my mind, have really helped Alaska agriculture and kind of bring it to the forefront.
Well, she's been working hard. I mean, it's kind of cyclical, but interest in farm policies, at the federal level, it's, the Farm Bill, but it's also, people kind of just forget where their food comes from. And then when we have a crisis, all of a sudden, everybody's concerned about food security, and we're hoping that awareness does stay at the forefront of people's minds instead of getting pushed to the back burner like it has for so long. But we all have experienced, 2-3 days of no shipments to Alaska and empty shelves, and it is alarming how fast that happens. So I just think keeping the spotlight on where food comes from, especially with our younger generations, who just, it's been easy to think that it all just comes out of the back storage room of your local Safeway, and it does take continuous education at the state level and the federal level.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I hope we aren't forgetting it. It seems like lots of folks are very aware of it. Like you said, we've had a lot of shocks to our systems within the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I think, you know, for us, we are always showing up at markets. You know, everybody always has questions. I mean, you know, when we do the farmers market, Amy is constantly talking. It's exhausting because people just have a lot of curiosity and questions or stories to share, questions to answer about, you know, raising livestock. And you know, because people just really don't have a lot of exposure to that. And so that is, you know, one way to keep everybody interested. Our little Soldotna market has just grown with visitors exponentially over the last couple of years because people are really starting to learn and engage in agriculture, even if it's just doing their own little garden or raising just some chickens. You know, people are starting to be a lot more curious about what having that kind of a lifestyle and what that means because, you know, you can go full bore and it's a lot of work. And it's your whole life, or you can just dabble in it. But, you know, it's good that people have various levels. And then, we do the local chapter of the Kenai Farm Bureau. And trying to get, even keeping our own farmers engaged is hard because everybody's moment of the day seems to be filled.
Yeah, I know that we take a break over our summer meetings just because everybody's going so fast. Well, folks, if you're just joining us, this is your host, Cody Buse with Ag Matters Radio, joined on the line with Farm Family of the Year at Lancashire Farms. And we got Amy Seitz and Jane Conway on the line with us. You had mentioned how you guys market. I'd love to know as much about that process as possible. Sounds like farmer's market is a big component of that, but what else or what can you add, embellish about the farmer's market?
farmer's market is definitely focus in the summer, and through that we've gotten customers who keep getting our products through the winter, like our eggs or meat products. And then we also sell eggs to Odie's Deli, which is a local deli here.
Seem to have enough of anything though, right, Amy? It's like if we could just be, you know, full time, we could raise a lot more chickens and sell a lot more eggs. There's always a waiting list for the lamb. You know, if both of us, we didn't have outside work, we, you know, could dedicate all our time, but we can't at this juncture. So, you know, even for me, it's a challenge sometimes getting wool products made and the yarns dyed like I want to before I sell them. And it's always a big challenge to balance your life with how much you're going to spend on the farm and how much you have to spend outside the farm to, you know, have the continuous cash flow.
Right. I understand that farming can be a lifestyle, and I still consider it that, but you're right. It is a business, and you have to be concerned about all aspects of that business. Is it viable, and how do we continue going?
Yeah, and the marketing side of it is definitely time-consuming. We're doing good having a list of people who want our products, but you also need to expand the product so they don't end up going and looking elsewhere, and then just building those relations to make sure we keep the market and...
Yeah, for us, it's the relationship building because, aghast, we don't have a Facebook page. Oh, my gosh, we don't do social media. Oh, my gosh, we don't have a website. Well, we don't because we can't supply what everybody would want. And, you know, it's nothing more frustrating than going to somebody's Facebook page and it's kind of dormant and boring and not much happening with it. And or going to a website and you don't have product because, you know, we have other things that we have to do. So we don't want to create something we can't manage. Right now we can manage what we can through our contacts and word of mouth and local presence. But, you know, at the stage our farm is in, we can't promote for much more business than what we already are handling.
Right. A lot of people ask me, you know, what's the biggest difference in Alaska agriculture? And there are many, but I want to say that marketing, you know, it's such... You have to be your own marketer for the most part. There's not a grain silo that you deliver to and then, you know, go home. You've got to be able to, and like you said, and then you've got the added component of can't over-market either.
Yeah. I mean, initially when we, you know, we thought about, what are we going to name the farm? And it just became obvious that it had to be Lancashire because of, you know, the history of it. And it's, you know, it's kind of nice little English ring to it. And then we developed a series of business cards and logos and, you know, different stickers for the wool and different stickers for the jam and for the eggs and for those kind of things. So we have, that's kind of, people notice our, know our logo now, and that's been really helpful. And, you know, working with the local food connection, the Farm Bureau, and just getting our name out there over and over again seems to be working for us at this time.
Yeah, and I'm curious about, as far as meat sales go, how do you guys manage that? Or just knowing that there's, you know, some hurdles that and ways and things that you can and cannot sell meat.
Yeah, which, I mean, just doing direct to consumer, it's working for us at this scale.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the lack of infrastructure definitely limits it, and the risk. It is a worry on occasion, but it is nice. You know, I know the people who get our products, and I make sure it's a good product they're getting. But yeah, there's definitely takes more to manage it this way, I think. We also like eating our own product, which is good.
Right.
Yeah, and people, they come,
the lack of infrastructure is a struggle.
Yeah.
People like to know that, because some people get, you know, when they say, isn't it sad when you have to harvest your chickens, or how can you do that, you know, to a lamb? And, you know, I used to be kind of that way. But, you know, now that I actually live the life, knowing people are comforted in knowing that until the very last second that they don't exist, they have a really great life. And you know, I try to explain that to people, like, they just have a great life. They're doing what they want to do. No stress, you know, eating the grass and eating straw, and, you know, everything's good until, like, 1 second they're gone. And that, you know, to me is far better than kind of mass hauling, you know, our lambs up to Palmer or wherever for that. You know, it's just, it makes people feel like, oh, well, that's really great. Then they're not too stressed out once they become, you know, food for us humans. Same thing with the chicken.
Yeah, sometimes I've heard processors joke about how animals only have one bad day. But the honest truth is that shouldn't even happen, in the sense that one day they, like you said, have a great life, and we make that transition insensible and painless for them. But it is. It's kind of an intimate thing that you know where your food comes from. And even if it isn't yourself, I think it's important to respect the animal and be grateful for that product.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left, so I always like this part of the program. And if there's anything we haven't touched on that you guys want to talk about, you just let me know, but I'll give you a minute for that. Favorite Alaska-grown products?
And that is always a tough answer. That's a tough question because there's so many. I mean, I love our eggs and our chicken. I love fresh broccoli and zucchini. I love the fresh onions and garlic. So that's a tough one to make because there's so many. or I'm just hungry.
Well, I'm going to talk about my customer's favorite Alaska wool product, and that is a set of my Alaska-grown wool-made dryer balls that you put in the dryer.
Yes.
Okay, well, if I could have a dryer ball factory, that would be great. I had no idea 7 years ago when I made a few dryer balls and brought them to the market that they were going to constantly, people ordering and putting their names on a list to get these dryer balls. And they're not just normal dryer balls. They're dryer balls that I make. I sell them in a set of three. And then I do every ball set is a different design. I don't use any patterns. And, you know, like I'll make a set of dryer balls with fireweed on them or forget-me-nots, or I'll make fish on them, or I'll, you know, make just, you know, funky designs. And people are just nuts about them. And they're really pretty. And some people say, hey, I don't even put them in the dryer. They're too pretty. I just put them in a bowl so I can look at them. So anyway, that's my favorite thing that I do, and had no idea it was going to be so popular when I started them.
Yeah, those are a hot ticket item when it was up for auction for the Farm Bureau. Everybody wanted those.
I wasn't going to brag, but yes, that's so true. I don't know what the dollar amount went for, but it was crazy and fun when they came up for auction.
Well, great. It's been so nice to have you. We do have about a minute left. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you guys would like to talk about?
Well, I would just say anyone who's down in the Soldotna area, the Historical Society, there's a Homesteader Museum down by Centennial Park, and they have a new Lancashire family film from back in the early days.
Oh, wow.
So it is fun to go in and watch some of the footage that Grandma and Grandpa got when they were here in the early days, late 40s, early 50s. So if anyone wants to see the farm in those days, they do a film at the homestead.
And it's especially good if Martha is there to kind of narrate on the side, which she did when my family came to visit this past summer. I mean, when we went down there to watch the video, and then Martha was saying, oh, and that's so-and-so there, and then she'd tell a side story, and it was just fascinating and fantastic to learn about. Life was hard back then, and homesteading was quite the feat, and so it's a great way to learn about history.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific place to end today. Thank you guys for being with us, and yes, a plug for Martha and her stories there. I'm definitely going to have to make that stop this summer. And hopefully she'll be there to be able to narrate that. And knowing that just the whole peninsula has such a rich homesteading history is something that I think people overlook sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all you guys do. You do a lot for us. Glad you got some recognition this year. And yeah, congrats for being the 2022 Farm Family of the Year. And thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Jody.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.